You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us. All right, everyone, welcome. This is Sandra Bieber. I'm the host of Her Story. And we celebrate women who lead every single day, day in and day out. And it's my honor and my privilege to be with some amazing guests today, which I have the great fortune of calling friends and colleagues. I have Dawn Godshall, the CEO of Community Action Lehigh Valley. I have Jessica Reimer, our CFO at Community Action Lehigh Valley. And I have Catherine Duque, our COO at Community Action Lehigh Valley. I am really grateful that you all joined us today. And we're going to dive into your leadership style, your mission, your passion, and what you do for Community Action Lehigh Valley, and what you do for this community and beyond every single day. So I want to kick it off to you, Dawn, first. And what inspired you to get into this work, and why choose not only the Lehigh Valley, but Community Action Lehigh Valley?
Well, mine was relatively simple. I grew up wanting to be rich and famous because I was poor. Yeah. So you always want that opposite of what you have. You have straight hair, you want curly hair. Yeah. And I was in news. I was at ABC television for quite a while. And I had to go to some conference, some convention, and ended up driving blindly with Alan Jennings, my predecessor. Someone told me he was going, got in the car with him, which was odd for me. I didn't go places with strangers normally. but during the car ride, he told me about this awesome organization called Community Action. And on the way back, I kept saying to him, I don't know why, but I think I'm going to work for you someday. Didn't know I was going to be him someday, a version of him.
Yeah.
But
not
that
entirely
was
him at all.
Not,
yeah.
No. But it was a very enlightening experience to have him tell me all of the wonderful things that Community Action did throughout the Lehigh Valley. So I think it was a God experience.
Absolutely. I could see that. And his passion and his mission for the not only Community Action, but for those that are experiencing injustice and those that are experiencing poverty in the Lehigh Valley really inspires people all throughout. And I could see that testament. Jess, tell me a little bit about, you know, why Community Action, why serving people in need, and what makes you do what you do so well?
Mm. So the why part is my parents, when they first got married, lived in a shack with no electricity, no heat. So they built up what we have, and my siblings and I were afforded the ability to go to college, something my parents didn't have.
Yeah.
So ever since I started in school, I wanted to get involved in nonprofits and be able to give back to the community. Community Action is one where you can help people in all aspects of life, from housing for shelter and homeless people to helping them weatherize their home to developing a business. So.
That's amazing. And seeing that, you know, you're so close to not only the numbers, but just the impact. You've worked several different roles within Community Action. How did you climb up in that? And how, you know, from a leadership perspective, what kept you curious?
Just that, curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can remember being in the HR role and saying to Alan, can I go with you to that?
Yeah.
Just because I want to learn about it. And he said yes, and it was all downhill from there. But getting to know the programs was my goal in HR, because how do you help people be a good employee when you don't understand what they do? So I learned the different positions to be able to recruit for those positions, and then help when supervisors said they were having problems. And then I moved into the operations role, and then was heavily involved in finances to make sure programs were doing things in compliance, and then switched over to finance.
That's awesome. Catherine, you have been with Community Action for many years, and you see it all. You see all of this, you know, the programs from the back end, and seeing how they run and seeing how our organization runs. You know, for you, what makes you so passionate about how you lead?
Sure. So before I worked here, I worked for the New York City Department of Education for 18 years. I was a history teacher and a dean of students. So I've been a lifelong public servant, I'll call myself. But I experienced a lot of frustration in my previous role because of what I witnessed in the student population. You know, as a teacher, as an educator, you want to help the students thrive. Yeah. But at a very early stage, I realized that education alone does not help a student thrive. The specific population we served was 75% newcomers to the country, and kids who would come home to no parents because they had to work two and three jobs, they were never around. Lack of affordable childcare, not having a nutritious breakfast, not being fed properly, rental issues, housing issues, and I felt like I wasn't able to make the impact that I desired to make. So then I moved to Pennsylvania and I had to make a decision. Do I want to stay in education or do I want to try something new? So what attracted me to community action was I feel like we treat the whole person and we provide a range of services that can help people change their situation. Food insecurity, housing, rehabilitation, weatherization, housing counseling, homelessness, on and on and on. And I think that is the only way to solve the problem and then create meaningful change that can eventually turn into educational success for the child. Because when you don't feel secure in your home, there's no way that you can fully develop in education or succeed in life. So I really believe in treating the whole family, the whole person, and I've never been happier in this position because I feel that what we do is really wonderful.
I love that. And I'm grateful that you shared that because I do feel like that is the why for a lot of us, right? So our organization, Community Action Lehigh Valley, May is actually considered in Pennsylvania Community Action Month, but coined by Governor Josh Shapiro. And each community action are, you know, we're in all different states, right? There's over 1,000 community actions all throughout the nation. And each focuses on specific things that work in that community. But seeing our team and seeing the team at Community Action, just from a leadership perspective, you know, a majority female executive leadership perspective is a big deal. And here at Her Story, when we talk about, you know, our leadership styles and how we lead, what I can envision and see, what is our why? Can we share what our why is other than, you know, obviously these are important things, you know, serving, you know, the children and the whole person, you know, being able to give back, you know, based from your humble beginnings, what your passion to help and serve and help people, you know, to get out of poverty is an important thing because you've experienced it. We've all experienced it in some way. So how do we lead when we lead in some specific things? Dawn, tell me a little bit of how your approach is on leadership.
I think I have a democratic leadership style. Mm-hmm. I believe that I'm not going to be good at everything. So I try to surround myself with people who I know will be good at what they do. And our organization definitely excels in that. Every person in our leadership team excels at something and multiple things for many of you. It is a great honor and a pleasure to work with women who, and the one man that we have left. It's a great pleasure to work with people who have so much knowledge about so many different things and have such a passion for what we do. And it's important because you don't, when you have that job that on Sunday nights you start having an anxiety attack, you know it's time to move to something different. And I don't know if anybody's experiencing that. They're not sharing it. But the fact that everybody shows up every day trying to do their best to serve the people that we do is really important.
I love that. And that segues us into, you know, whoever wants to take this is what keeps you here on the hardest days? What's an example in front in your mind when you're, you know, just, oh my goodness, I could be retired somewhere on a beach, or I could be working for myself, or I could, you know, go and make products, or I have my own podcast and become famous. What keeps you in your hardest days when you're working? I'll start with Jess.
It's mostly the people I work with.
Well, that's a good thing because I'm glad to be working with you. And that's the truth. Seeing what we went through you know, these, especially this past year with all of the uncertainty, whether it be with funding or with laws and things that are happening, we melded together. And I think it was a really good testament of what could be possible for a leadership team.
For me, it's the results that I see operationally. I'm involved more in the program. So hearing the success stories, sometimes I get on a phone with a participant and they tell me how, you know, their house was falling apart and we saved it.
Yeah.
Or they were going to lose their home to foreclosure and we saved them.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me here during the stressful days, because I can feel and I can see the results of my effort, and that's very rewarding.
Yeah. Done.
It's exactly that. You know, when I worked for news, you went home, I went home every night with those horrific stories that happened to people, whether it was fires or murders or, and in this particular job, it is so rewarding when you have the people call or write and say, you know, I don't know how I would have made it if it weren't for community action. And it's not anything that any of us do alone, but as a team, we make sure that people's lives become better.
That's beautiful. I absolutely love that. And, you know, I think people have misconceptions of what it means to be in leadership, what it means to be in an organization that serves people. And, you know, people are like, oh, you know, they're getting a ton of funding and they're doing this and they're doing that. And this is not just any community actions, but any nonprofit or any business. What's a misconception that you think people should get straight when it comes to leadership and when it comes to serving, especially in nonprofits?
I'll field that first. From a financial perspective, nonprofits should not operate so lean that they are at the point of breaking.
Yeah.
So the conception of just support programs and programming and not help support the overall operation of a nonprofit, which everybody needs somebody to pay the bills, to talk to donors, to follow the compliance for government regulatory. You can't operate so lean that when you operate lean, you break easily.
Yeah. That's great. And I don't think people understand that, right? Because you build up this core mission that helps the entire community, but you try and slim it, you know, to say, oh, we're not making a profit. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. And then just like you say, a catastrophic event happens, some issues happen with funding, and then we get into this program or this problem that really could break a nonprofit. I really like that a lot. Anyone else thinks, Wendy?
Yeah. Well, we don't make widgets, so the more widgets we make, the more money we make. That's not how it works in a nonprofit. We have to literally ask constantly for people to give. And until people's hearts are geared toward what the things that you do, they're not going to give. You have to ask. You have to constantly ask. And it just never stops. I wish it did. I wish there were more people who saw that they have the ability to give, and so they just do. And there are those people, absolutely. But a nonprofit is totally reliant on the blessings that are given to us by other people.
I agree. And we have been blessed, I think, especially, you know, being able to see it firsthand, not only as a community member, but seeing this nonprofit community come together. And we're, you know, situated in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. And being able to see the generosity from corporations and people and generous donors and volunteers, just a big part of it. And that's been a really great blessing. Jess, tell me how financial success really shapes the mission of, you know, an organization, or, you know, can contribute to stability in some way in a nonprofit or any organization.
So every financial decision that we make is a mission decision. Mm-hmm. So to buy a piece of equipment for Second Harvest Food Bank is a necessary decision because we have to have some way to deliver the food and put the food from the shelves into the trucks. Yeah. So making decisions at Sixth Street Shelter of, do we replace something so that people have comfortable beds to sleep in their homeless situation with kids and stuff like that? or do we put it over here? So every decision we make goes back to the mission of carrying out what we do on a regular basis.
That's really good. I really like that a lot. And you know, this message is for this question is for Dawn. Dawn, tell me, how do you plan for impact when the needs keep shifting?
I don't sleep much. I really rely a lot on my team. We come to meetings prepared to talk it out and decide where the impact needs to be.
Yeah.
No one is operating on their own island. We all come together to try to decide what we need to do, how we need to do it, things we need to forego and let go, which is really hard sometimes. But I think as a team, when we put all of our brains together, we figure out how to do it the best way possible.
I love that. And I want to piggyback on that for different perspectives. Everybody has a different opinion, very opinionated from what I could see here. And this is a great thing to be a part of because you're able to share your voice and you're able to speak out on maybe perhaps things that you've always had in your mind. But this is, for me personally, from an experience, from a professional experience, it's the first time where I feel like I'm able to do so in an open space and it's being heard and being respected. And so how do you keep people aligned as a leader to stay single focused almost on the vision and the mission? And how do you, bring everybody together in that way? Because you do such a great job at that.
I send them to Catherine.
Yeah. Send it to Catherine's office. That's exactly right. I love that.
It's like the principal's office.
That's good. I love it. Catherine, since she put that right to you, tell me, how do you keep people aligned and how to, get centered around the mission when people can kind of mission creep and go in all different types of, directions? How do you keep them focused?
So working with all the programs, I can tell you that working for a nonprofit, while it is rewarding, can be very stressful.
Oh, yes,
understood. And sometimes my staff feels frustration and stress because of, some of the funding constraints we have, time constraints. If we had more money for operations, we would probably have more staff, which would take some workload off of people. So I think the way I lead is through collaboration, where I'm not just a higher level leader or manager. I make myself available and capable to get on the ground with my staff. If they're having trouble and they can't fulfill something on time, I will walk alongside them, hold their hand, do what they need to do, and I will take on the same task. I think as a leader, it's important not to just, as they say, talk the talk, but walk the walk. So I'm very proud of the fact that I can help them in that way, that I'm blessed with the knowledge and the capability to support them in that way. And I think when they see me as their leader in the weeds with them, fighting and, cleaning up messes, I think that makes them feel more motivated to carry on because they say, well, she's here with me, she's doing it with me, so I'm going to keep going because she's going along with me.
That's so powerful.
And if I could just add, I think every one of us in this room has done several jobs within this agency, and that has been extremely helpful. I've been the COO, I have been, the AED of everything at some point. You were a board member and then came to, contribute to the mission. And I think having done all the different things that we do gives us that insight to be able to, as Jess said, how can you help people if you don't understand what they do?
That's so good. That is so good. The reason that we come alongside each other so well is because we do have that shared mission. We have that humble heart because we don't want people to suffer. And I think for me, seeing how Community Action operates and funding other smaller nonprofits and supporting nonprofits and, you know, even transitioning and partnering our programs over these many years. Like, we build programs up to support, and then, you know, if we need to transition them off to another, we have done that. We've done it well. And I think that's only the beginning. That's more to come of that, because when nonprofits operate on an autonomous type of role, they kind of become this ivory tower, and that's not how it's meant to be. And I don't think that's what is here. And so I want to get to the heart of what we Community Action does, and what is poverty and what does it look like in the Lehigh Valley? So anyone want to field that one?
I think people have a stigma. They have a stereotype of what they think poverty is. Mm-hmm. Where that child that goes to school with your child might be suffering in some way.
Yeah.
They might have a need. The person that sits next to you in church, the person that looks okay may not be okay. There's people who have to stand in a line to get food. They're embarrassed. They don't want to be there. And so poverty has a lot of different faces. And the best thing that we can do is to treat each person with dignity, because we don't know what brought them to that place.
Yeah.
So I think the stereotype of what poverty looks like is never actually what it is.
Right.
It could be that person that you see sleeping on the street, but it can also be that person who's neatly dressed.
That's right.
That you have no idea what happens when they get home.
That's so good. And just kind of seeing that from all different levels, those individuals that are behind on their bills or their electric bills, or the person that, you know, helping them just get by for the next month until they get their job, right? Get by in the sense like, I need to find a pantry so I could feed my kids or feed my my elderly parents and myself. Added benefit in that way is that's why organizations and nonprofits that serve the community in this way is really important to shed light on. And, you know, even when you think about WDIY, which is, an NPR station, it's a public radio, is so important because you're able to share these stories. This is, and while the mainstream media does a good job in some facets of highlighting those short stories, this is long form content where you're able to share snippets of what leadership could be in a nonprofit. When you think of a young person that wants to get into a nonprofit industry or just to serve as a volunteer, and I'm going to go around the room for this because I'm going to speak to the child in you all, or the youth, the young person in you. So, Dawn, if you were a little girl, would that little girl be proud of who you are today?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a very rough upbringing. I grew up in foster homes, and so I saw a lot of things that most people don't see. And I saw poverty. I saw things that most children should not have to. And what it does is it either breaks you or it makes you stronger. It didn't break me.
Yes,
and
God.
So, yes. Yeah, thank God for that. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes me want to do what I do every day, is because I know things that made me an old lady at 8 years old, you know.
That's so good. Jess, what about you?
I would agree, absolutely. I also have a 9-year-old daughter who wants to be me when she grows up.
Oh.
So not only would 8-year-old me be proud, but my 9-year-old copy-paste is proud.
Copy-paste. And she's a copy-paste. She's just amazing. She is amazing. What about you, Catherine?
So I definitely think the child me would be proud of the woman I am today. And I'd like to say what I think Community Action produces as the reason for that. So when Dawn said we don't produce widgets, our funding is finite, right? So we don't get anything additional for rehabbing more houses or housing any more homeless families or counseling any more people than we already do. So I think the true product of Community Action is we give people hope,
yeah,
and we give them a reason to fight and learn and become sustainable. We provide them with the tools to help themselves to break the cycle of poverty. So for those reasons, I think our product, if I can call it, is one of the most important things that any organization could produce in the entire world. So that's the reason why I'm proud.
Well said. Thank you. So well said. And this has been such a beautiful conversation, but I'm spoiled because we get to have these conversations all the time and be able to talk to so many people within our organizations and outside of our organization in this way. So this is going to, you know, be platformed out to showcase and even use as an example for people to have open and honest conversations like this. And, you know, parting thoughts, it's been such an honor to be with you all. And so I'm going to start with Dawn here and tell me your parting thoughts and what you would relay to a young woman that is trying to make her way, or a young person that is trying to make their way into the world. And how can you help them choose, right, or find their path?
I've often heard that people say when they have a job that they really love, mm-hmm. it's not like going to work every yeah. day. And so when you're doing something that you have a heart for, yeah. that makes your life a lot easier. It's not always easy, for don't sure. get me wrong. But the fact that I know that what I'm doing is serving others, yeah. It makes all the difference in the world.
That's awesome. I love that. Jess, what about you?
Oh, what would I tell somebody starting out? Let's see. Just be courageous.
That's good.
Just take that moment to step out of your comfort zone and try it. And it's okay to fail, because the only way we are going to learn from anything is to fail and grow from it. So I would just say be courageous and go for it.
That's great. Courage is really important, because courage is the stepping stone to your passion. But you have to first open that door. And when you open that door, there will be a million other tasks that you have to go through. But you got to meet them with bravery and courage. Mm-hmm. Thank you. How about you, Catherine?
So for me, I'm going to use my daughter as an example. If she sees this, she's going to get really agitated with me, so I won't say her name. But also being a teacher, this is a very similar trend where young people do not know what they want to do.
Sure.
They have no idea what they want to do. And oftentimes they start out in a career just because they needed to go to college and get a degree and support themselves. So yeah. I would say to a young person, it's okay to not know.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to start off doing something that may not be your path.
That's right.
But using myself as an example, I think I found my path at the age of, should I say my age? At the age of 40. So I'm just grateful to have had my life experiences, to have my first career,
yeah.
which I think led me to my true passion, and my second career. Which is what I do now. So it's okay not to know, but one day you will find your true passion and just have faith in that, and everything's going to be fine.
That's so beautiful. Thank mm-hmm. you. That concludes our episode for today. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Catherine. Her story, again, celebrates women. They celebrate women in any facet of leadership, whether they're serving in their community, volunteering, they're leading organizations, or leading a financial department within an organization, or operations within the organization or beyond. And for me, I've learned so much by having these conversations. So thank you all again, and thank you to our listeners and our viewers at Her Story. We'll see you next time.